we extend our tech expertise to people or company who want to scale their product.
I love putting people in uncomfortable situations because they come out better than they ever were before.
Tigany is basically one sort of platform where you get all sort of health services at your home.
Doesn't make sense to me. The world is not supposed to run this way. The world is supposed to run that you're born to a middle-class family and you die in a middle-class family.
Doctor, health is something which, even if you have money, at a certain point, in some circumstances, you will be not able to get that proper treatment at that particular time.
You learn to build, you learn to sell, and you are unstoppable.
And you learn to scale as well.
How do we push more people into selling?
Nowadays, resources are available, motivation is required, and obviously the entire world is looking towards India.
But we talk about India. India has 30 times less value or 40 times less value per person.
In order to do something in my life, you can't just be in your comfort zone.
I don't agree with you there.
Hi, this is Kadir. I'm the founder of Sigilotech, which is a tech-based company which offers a solution to startups, basically. So if you know, nowadays there are a lot of startups which are trying to build their ideas into reality, but you can't be a single man army, right? You can't be a marketing guy, you can't be a tech guy, you can't be a VC guy who can fund your project. So basically, what we do is that we extend our tech support. Basically, I have spent close to 9 years in corporate. I worked on big tech projects, starting from web development, app development, and then AI and data science. So we extend our tech expertise to people or company who want to scale their product. So basically, there was a gap in the market. IT companies, hajaro hai, lakho hai in the entire world, but there was a niche and there was a gap in the market, which I tapped in the year 2019 and 20. So that is where Sigilotech started. I started this company and then I roped in one of my school friend who was also very technical. So I made him the CTO of the company. I gave him some shares. And, we started there 2.5 years back with just 2 members. And now we are a team of 35 people. Along with that, we have recently started another company. I've joined another company as a co-founder and COO to look out their operations. So that is called as Diagonal Easy. So Diagonal Easy is basically one sort of platform where you get all sort of health services at your home. So we are operating in Calcutta, Howrah and Barakpur right now. We will be expanding our services to other districts of West Bengal and later rest of the India. So in Diagonizy, what we do is that we give doctors within 1 hour and 1.5 hour, doctors generally reached at your home in case of emergency or any sort of ask. We provide ambulances, we provide wheelchairs, we provide lab tests. So you name any sort of medical services and we provide at your doorstep.
Doesn't make sense to me. The world is not supposed to run this way. The world is supposed to run that you're born to a middle-class family and you die in a middle-class family. And the world is supposed to run that you're not supposed to get out of your comfort zone. And the world is supposed to run you're studying and then you do a job and then you live it out. So the amount of skill set that you need to change, the amount of things that you need to learn to get out of an engineering background or a science background or a business background to actually become a business owner to enable businessmen is enormous, huge. Why don't you name us some of the skills that you came by that allowed you to, switch to this?
So even though I was an introvert, I takes time to open with new people. But I know once I open, right, there is no, stop. So you can't stop me. So that was there that, I take my time. I analyze the people, I analyze situation, and then I come up with my school of thought. So that was one thing. And the second thing was the marketing and pitching ability, which I had right from my school. So I remember still I was in class 4. And at those times, Shaktiman was, everybody must have watched Shaktiman at that time. So what I used to do, I used to buy stickers from my local shop and I used to sell in my school. That was one skill which I had from my school. Later on, when I went to college, there I used to sell laptop and desktop to my friends as well as friends of other colleges. So that was always there. And when I joined my corporate, you will not believe, at that time, Snapdeal and Flipkart, they just opened that marketplace to sell stocks. So my home was 50 kilometers away from my office. And now the online marketplace has been pretty much streamlined. But at that time, even if you want to sell online, there were a lot of obstacles. There were very less delivery partners, pickup points and all. So I used to carry all those stuffs which I wanted to sell online to my office because there was a pickup point. And I literally used to carry that back to my office and people used to wonder, you know, what this guy is doing. So that one thing which was there right from the beginning was ignorance. So I always used to ignore what other people are thinking about me because I knew that in order to do something in my life, you can't just be in your comfort zone. So yeah, these are the few things which I think which took, like where I took a leap in my life, and these skills helped a lot in that.
Born to sell, huh, Kadir?
Yeah.
Born to sell, it seems.
So, you know, if you can't sell, so whether you're a marketing guy, you're a tech guy, it doesn't make any sense. So you have to sell. So if you remember the people who are in tech industry, whether it's Elon Musk or Bill Gates and other people, even there, they were literally good in tech side, but they were able to sell their products. Initially, they have sold their product. Later on, their marketing team and other people. So if you can't sell a product, it's very difficult.
There's the saying, right? You learn to build, you learn to sell, and you are unstoppable.
Correct. And you learn to scale as well.
That is the third aspect to that, 100%. I think scaling comes more naturally. But I think building, and I think especially selling, takes a lot, as you said, putting yourself out there and having that ignorance is very, very important.
Best part is you're always selling, right? Sometimes you're selling your skill, sometimes you're selling a product, sometimes you're selling a service, sometimes you're just selling to the marketplace that please let me buy you for cheaper. Always selling.
Sometimes you're selling yourself. You know, everybody is trying to sell themselves, some or the other way.
I mean, we are trying to sell ourselves on this podcast, aren't we? So, I think it's the eternal life cycle.
Yeah.
How do we push more people into selling? What are the key aspects of what people miss? And why the innate fear of selling? It's very dominant in our society. People are scared. Why are they?
See, first we need to realize why is the problem, and then we can say that, okay, what are the solutions? I think the problem is quite simple. We don't have any social security in India. You have stayed, like you're staying in Canada. I've been to London for a couple of years, stayed there. There is US, and the most important thing is there is a social security. If you're not doing job, government is there to help. If you are having a health problem, government is there to help. But in India, you know how difficult it is to survive without a job. Once you are born, you have to study. You have to study well. You have to go to college, sit into interviews. People are, you know, crazy for government jobs. You are spending time, and it's all happened because we don't have social security in India. So if that is in place, right, people would have taken some leap. They would have taken, they have got some courage to do. But again, not only in India, there are many other countries which have this problem. But what is the solution? The solution is, again, people need motivation. People need motivation. Earlier, it was very difficult because there were no access to internets and all. But now, internet, YouTube, and other video contents are easily available at fingertips. What you need is that, you know, someone need to come up and boost someone like who is in their field. Who want to learn, they can go online and check their videos and they want to learn. So nowadays, resources are available, motivation is required, and obviously the entire world is looking towards India. So, you know, people like are funding lot of ideas in last, I have seen in 5 years, a massive growth in terms of funding, in terms of tech help, and many other segments. So what people need is now that they need to get motivated and start. Obviously, They need to have some skill set, but first they need to get out of this cell. If they are not getting out of this cell, it's very difficult. So conditions are very favorable these days. It's just one fine morning you have to decide, okay, no, now I have to do or I have to pursue my dream.
Kadir, speaking about conditions, speaking about people and speaking about selling, we say selling to kids or keeping kids' attention is the hardest. And you were selling things to kids, you were selling things to college students, and now you're selling things to people who are running startups. What are like the three things that you have noticed that differ amongst these three groups? And what are three similarities?
So I will start with similarity. Similarity is always that gap you have to find out, you know, that pain point which you have to fill. So it's always there. So you have to find a problem and you have to give some solution. It might be selling something of, you know, 10 rupees, 100 rupees, 1 lakh, 10 lakh once a year. So similarities is all there, identifying that gap where I can sell and that opportunity. And the three different things at different segments is all about experience, you can say. So selling to a school kid was, I think, very easy because that time everybody was fascinated with those type of fictitious characters and everybody wanted to have it. Going to college, selling stuff was a bit difficult because people were a bit matured at that time. You know, they had knowledge of market, so they can identify. But again, you have to have that X factor. Like for me, the price point was at that time important. So I used to skip very less margin when I was selling in my college. Coming back to the starting this company again, now I have entire experience, you know. So I knew the entire process. I knew from where clients used to come or from where I can have the client, what is the market, what is the gap in the market, what backup plans I have. So, you know, so at different stages, you know, opportunities will be different, circumstances will be different, and your customers will be different.
There are two ways a business makes money. And this is not from me. I am nobody. This is from Alex Hormozi. Again, we quote this fellow like all the time. Hopefully he comes on the podcast. He's a fine day, you know. But there are two ways a business makes money. One is customers, more money, 10x your customers, 10x your business. The other is lifetime value of a customer. If one customer right now is worth $10 to you, you are worth $10. If you have 1,000 customers, you're worth $10,000. If each customer becomes $100 worth, you're worth $100,000, right? So that is basic 1+1=2 math. If you look at it on a country scenario, you can have people and you can have value per people. So you have a lot of people with very little value. You have India. You have a little lesser people with a lot of value. You get America. You have a lot less people with a lot of value, you get Canada. But we talk about India. India has 30 times less value or 40 times less value per person than any of these countries, any of Canada, US, London, pick one, right? 30 to 40 times lesser value per head. Why I'm talking about this is YouTube is available to everybody for free. Internet is available to everybody at free costs in India. It is basically everyone has access to it. And it has become an essential part of everyone's life. YouTube has courses ranging from computer science to cookery to how to start a YouTube channel to how to start a podcast. Everything available to you for no cost. We are running out of excuses. Earlier, there was the excuse, I cannot afford college. I cannot get into college. I cannot be an engineer because IIT exams are too hard and IIT is the only thing that a person will look to, right? Now that these excuses are dying and now that the basic needs are being met a little better than they were, kapda, pani, makan, internet, right? These are the four basic needs of life. What excuses are left, Kabir? What is my excuse to be a young man in India or a young woman in India, not go on YouTube, not upskill myself, not become a coder, not start generating wealth from these countries by outsourcing my skill to them and bringing that money home? What excuses do I have?
So everything is driven by some factor, you know. So earlier, if we go to 80s, 70s, it was a necessity that you can't have an excuse. You need a job. Your parents didn't have anything. Your grandparents, forget about your grandparents, they never had anything. Coming to 20s, if you go back to 20 years back, standard living increased a bit. And now, you know, people are not much bothered about their future because, you know, mentality is changing generation to generation. So, again, that grit has to be there. You know, excuses will increase when your necessity is fulfilled. It's as simple as that. So, if you are getting everything and if you don't expect to do anything big, nobody is going to help you out. You know, nobody can help you out, basically. So, that first thing was that necessity, which was earlier 40 years back, now is not that much, you know, it's not making sense to the new generation because they have not seen that time what 40 years back or 20 years back people have seen. So that is one problem. Yeah. And consider a kid whose parents have their own house. They have gone to, like, that kid has gone to a very good school and he doesn't want to make a million in his life, you know, because somewhere his parents have kept some money for him, his education, his future. So it's all about necessity. So it was earlier, it was necessity, and now it has become, it's a very normalized stuff for them. So that is where I think it has made the changes, because we can't blame the generation. It's always the time.
I don't agree with you there. I'll tell you why I don't agree with you. Because you look at a country like Norway, right? In Norway, per capita, everyone, by the time they retire, is a millionaire. So Norway has this thing called Norwegian Sovereign National Fund. What they do is, they mandatorily invest in the world stocks for every human being that is born in Norway or is a citizen of the country. Per capita, Norway has the most number of businesses. Per capita, Norway generates a huge amount of GDP. Per capita, Norway is one of the happiest countries there is. Which means their basic necessities have been taken care of, and it is no longer a need, but it is kind of the self-actualization of, what do I want to do? So when you become, let's say, Kadir becomes one of the wealthiest people in India, are you going to stop? Or are you going to have the next question of, what do I want to do? Kichal, this is done. What's next? Do I want to help somebody? Do I want to build a cafe? Do I want to feed people nice coffee? Do I want to run a restaurant, feed people nice food? Do I want to make ships, get logistics a little better for the country or for the world or whatever? I feel that question is more driven by the necessity of self-realization more than the necessity of self-consumption. What is your view on something like that?
I think that also goes to Kadir's initial point, which was, you know, India doesn't have social security. The example you're giving about Norway, you're saying every single person, by the time they retire, whether they are very successful at their job or not, are a millionaire. So when you have that taken care of and you know, my life after the age of 55 or 60 is sorted, you lose, you have nothing to lose. What do you have left to lose?
Okay, so coming back to the initial question, it's not that, you know, everybody is doing that. Obviously, there will be some percentage of that population which, you know, which will be making excuses, whether it's India or Norway. Correct. So, but if you see the generalized population and the amount of prosperity which we are, you know, into last 5 years or 10 years, that had really been increased. So if you go by numbers, then definitely, you know, people are taking the other route. They're doing good. If you see all those new startups, whether it is Zomato or some other, they are, changing the world. So, there will be some sort of segments of population which they will be not taking that action. Reason can be XYZ, that's a totally a different topic where we can debate without any time constraint. But yeah, we as a young people in India, we are really doing great. Like I came back to India in 2019, and the number of changes, whether it is infrastructure, whether it is technology, whether it is in internet, it has got a massive difference when I left India before going to London. So, and that has, kept me glued in India, especially in my hometown in Calcutta, that, I will stay here and I will do for the city of mine, and I will do for the young generation, and I will contribute to the growth of India.
Kadir, let's get into a little more about what you're doing. You said you found a niche for yourself, and you aren't like any other IT company, which is there a dime a dozen. What is it that Sigliotech does, and what is it that you are? How did you find this area that you wanted to get into?
And I feel like we can build directly from the conversation that we've been having about enablers, about enabling people with the basic necessities and then going and killing it. So let's talk about killing it.
Yeah. So when COVID was there in the entire world, people were generally sitting, confined in their home. And when that people are not doing or not much busy, a lot of ideas come into their mind. So some of my friends popped up to me and saying that, okay, I want to try this. Tell me, what it takes to build it. So, and in the another month, again, one of my friends came to me and said that, I have this idea. What does it take to build it? So I thought that, within my network, within my friendship, I'm able to find so many of scope where people want to do themselves, they have idea and they want to convert it into a product. Why don't I provide service to them? So I started giving free consulting on some of my friends' product. And then when they found value in my consultation, in my work, they started paying myself. And then they also offered me some other clients. And that is where, Sigliotech was born. So then we went full-fledged to the market. We went to some marketplace. We had one small marketing team, which used to meet people who have ideas to build something. And we said, okay, here we are. We will be able to scale your product. We will be able to scale it digitally. We will be able to scale at a nicer level where, XYZ number of users can come and that platform can handle it.
Kadir, let's assume I run a homestays business. And let's assume my online presence is very limited, but my business is good. I have good reviews from people and they really like my product. My product being the homestays that I can provide. What can your company, if you onboard those people, what would be the steps your company would help them in? What would be the steps you would allow their growth or allow their outreach? What would you do?
Okay, so as I said that we help in the tech part. So you come up with your idea that, okay, I want to reach, I am delivering to my local customers. I want to reach it to other state, other countries. So can I have a robust platform? So I will get all the ideas from you. Okay, how many users are going to use this platform? What is the budget for the product? According to that, I will suggest few, technologies which can help it, a few cloud platform which can help them to store data digitally on the cloud, and later on they can scale. So I will be able to say that, okay, let me build you a website, let me build you an application, and somewhere I will be also able to help in the digital marketing side as well. So that is where it's not just giving them the product, but the best way it can be built, so that later on, if say 10,000 or 1 lakh or 10 lakh customers comes, or your website is going to hit those number of users. So it should be scalable. It's not that, okay, I have to dump that application. So we build very high scalable applications, which other companies, you know, they fail to provide because they might be using some older technologies, non-scalable things, non-cloud things. So, and I target those customers who can, you know, probably pay for that type of product. So, you will find a lot of companies who are building product, who are building websites, but there are very few companies who have got that niche technology where they can expect that, okay, they can generate XYZ revenue from it. So believe me, I will give an example. There would be, might be 500 or 1,000 IT companies in Calcutta, and they might be operating in last 10 years or 5 years. We in Sagilotech, last 2.5 years, we have grown to, you know, 2 to 35 people. So it shows that what technical expertise we have, what marketing capability we have.
Kadir, what is the average ticket size that you all deal with?
Ticket size depends upon the requirement. So there are a couple of business models which we offer. One is the project size, and one is, you know, recurring monthly billing, which service companies generally do. So the fixed price project somewhere anywhere between 4 to 5 lakh rupees. And the recurring one, which is the monthly billing, depends upon technology and number of years of experience you want to have for that project. So it ranges from 1 lakh to 1.5 lakh, 2 lakhs. Depends upon the resources and for the number of months of engagement you want to get for that particular project.
Kadir, we would love an example on here. We would love an example alongside like the kind of payments that it drives, if you're comfortable. One of your customers, you can name them some random stuff. You don't need to give the names out if you are not comfortable, but we would love some sort of an example. These people do this, we help them do this, this helped them scale to this, and then they blast it. So like that kind of a thing, we would love it.
And this is what we charge them.
Okay, so there is one of our Australian clients. He came up with a very small request that, okay, I don't have, you know, much time. Can you build us a product within 2 months using some low-code application? So low-code application can be anything. It can be Zapier, it can be Bubble IO, it can be Power App, Power Automate. So we said, okay, yes, we will be able to help. And that company, they gives assistance to physical and mental retired people. So they have an agency, very big agency in Australia, and everything was manual. You know, they used to onboard customers or clients using pen and papers. They had staff which used to record everything of the client and customer, you know, their sleeping pattern, their food intake, their medicines, their day-to-day activity. Everything was on pen and paper. And there used to be a lot of mistake in that because everything was manual. So we pitched in, we developed a product within 2 months. And, you know, in 2 months of time, everything was digital. The client, you know, loved it. But down the line, they wanted to scale this product because when they went digitally, they had a lot of time to accommodate a lot of more customers or clients. So maybe with this manual activity, they used to cater 500 clients every month. But when everything was digital, they said that, okay, we want to onboard as much as they can because everything was automated, everything was digital. You know, they were booking appointments, they were taking down all the notes of the customers, and everything was digital, and it was process-driven, workflow, approvals. So there was very less time involved in maintaining those clients. So the same staff which were maintaining 500 clients, now they were in a position they can maintain 2,000 clients, you know, keeping their same expenses on the resourcing. Their revenue went like the capability of handling clients went 4x. So then we built, they gave us a proper entire project to build a scalable solution as per our technology. So we build up a very robust, scalable application for them. And it's close to a year now, and they are, you know, every month they keep on adding some of the other features. So that was a nice engagement, and it fetches a lot of revenue for us.
What was the revenue there? Like, how much did you charge them, or if you're comfortable?
So monthly we bill somewhere around 8-9 lakh rupees.
That must be because the platform is heavily scaled now as well, right? Now you're doing a bigger job for them as well.
Yes.
Do people tend to stick around after their initial projects with you?
That is quite interesting for us, because our customer retention is close to 82%. So the customers who are with us right from the inception of Sigilotech, the 82% customers are still there. And we try to add, you know, one or two customers every month. So, yeah. So, see, when I said that, you know, we are different because there are already 500,000 companies in Calcutta itself. So, the technical expertise, you know, when you are dealing with technology, that technical expertise really matters. On LinkedIn, if you go, every one out of three software developer is a React developer. But if you ask them some tricky questions, if you ask them to build a scalable product, an experience matters a lot. So I have interviewed close to 1,000 people in my life. And I have found one great problem here in tech is that that skill set which you are looking for, that commitment which you are looking for, really lacks a lot. So there are people in India, rightly said, that there are a lot of people, but there are hardly any skilled people.
Is team building as an activity difficult? Is it the biggest challenge that you have as a company?
It's always resourcing will be always a problem. So it's not only for us, even for a company like Meta and Google. If you have seen in last 2 years, it was very difficult for them to retain people. So it always depends upon the time. There are a bit of recessions, so people try to stick around the same company. But believe me, when I started my company, at that time people were switching a lot. From there till date, you know, nobody has left us. Nobody has left us. And this is one of the biggest achievements which I feel as a owner, business owner, we were able to enable in my company.
You mentioned you've interviewed over close to 1,000 people. What are three things that you look for in people you're interviewing? What are some characteristics?
So, yeah, it's a very, you know, common question. And what I will not say three things, but I will only say one thing is that learning attitude. I don't care whether you are a BTech student. I don't care whether you are a BCS student. I don't care whether you are a BA student or a BCom student. As long as you are able to learn, you have that attitude that, okay, I will be able to learn, because in my career, I have learned close to 14 technologies. So I can't expect a person who knows C, Java, or data structure, or React, or some other technology, you know, he would be having the same expertise in other technology. But if I know that if a person is logical, if he is able to understand a stuff, whether it is a C or a data structure or an algorithm or any other technology or a tech stack, he will be able to understand. So that is the only reason, even though I have a team now of HR and everything, but that final interview I take, the final round I take still, so that, you know, I handpick my people. You know, so, and hiring is all depends upon the culture of your company. You know, a person can be very good, but it doesn't culturally fit to your organization. I literally say no, because culture is very important, and you know yourself that what is the culture of your company and which people you should bring along who can delightfully increment or adjust that culture. Or, I specially look upon the people who are from non-tech background. Like, it sounds very awkward, but this is my way of hiring. You know, this is my way of picking people, because I have three people in my company who comes from BCom, VA, and some non-tech background. but they are doing exceptionally well. You know, they take all the responsibility. They have learned everything in a very less time, you know, within 4 months, within 6 months. They were able to deliver what a, you know, student or a candidate who has studied 4 years in engineering, they were not able to deliver. So it has worked exceptionally well for me. I don't know whether it will work for others, but nowadays, like if I take a BTech student, simultaneously I'm also searching for a student who is from a non-tech background.
I think the advantage with non-tech is that we tech people are a little slow in communication and understanding, I think. We have a, I think that that's a occupational hazard. But I think I understand where you're coming from. But I also think that in tech, because you're so used to just like keeping your head down and coding, oftentimes that, you know, being able to grow and being able to learn and that whole drive doesn't come through as much.
But that answer has a problem, Kadir. Not the non-tech people. I love that. I love putting people in uncomfortable situations because they come out better than they ever were before. The problem I have is when you say, I only look for people who are wanting to learn. Because everyone you will interview will tell you, I want to learn. And that becomes kind of a, you know, it becomes a circular problem. Ki, okay, 1,000 people are coming in, all 1,000 are telling me, I want to learn and that's what I'm looking for. How do you filter it? How do you judge that who is telling the truth and who is not telling the truth? And how do I actually come to that?
So first of all, I see that how much he is interested in working in my organization particularly.
How do you judge that?
Yeah, so I generally ask, what do you know about Sagilotech? So if a person is interested in working in your organization, he will do a bit of research, at least about the founder, you know, whether they're capable of or not running that organization, what is their background. They should identify, okay, who are the clients of that company, what that company is literally doing. You are going to spend some of few months or few years of your life, and if you're not doing research, because you, every day you will be spending 8 hours there, and if you're not doing research that where I will be, whether I am safe or not there, safe in the sense, you know, my job security is there or not, I think that guy is not prepared for my company. So that one question I generally ask. It might also happen that, you know, due to some XYZ reason, they might have not done that research, but they're still good. And then I check about their background. So, you know, it's a very unconventional means of hiring, but I see their background from where they come, whether they have that necessity of job or not. You know, this is my second way of looking into a resourcing, that whether that, how desperate he is to get a job. If not my company, some other company. And that is pretty much required that, okay, that person might work well, you know, because he desperately need a work because of XYZ reason. It could be a money problem, some other problem and all. So those are the few things I generally look in a candidate. See, if you have that attitude, learning is secondary. I make sure that I will be that person responsible. If that person is not learning or I'm not able to make him understand those tech stack where he will be working. And what common thing which I have observed these days is that people are coming with demand. You know, sir, I want to work on web development. I want to work on Android. I want to work on data science. People are coming with this type of attitude. No, I want to work on this technology. I simply, you know, don't consider them because they don't have any idea that technology changes every 2-3 years.
100%.
And if you say that, you know, if I have learned that technology and I need to work in that technology, that is the wrong thing you are doing to yourself. Because after 3-4 years, you have to work on some other tech. And if you are not okay to leave your comfort zone, then it will be a problem to us. You know, later on you will say that, okay, I came here for this technology. Now I don't want to work in this. So, see, attitude matters a lot. So, that is where I place above everything, you know, your attitude matters. So, for the people who are go-getters, they will be not confined to a technology or a role also. You know, if someone is a tech and if I assign them, okay, you take care of my client, become a manager, become a VA, they will not mind that also.
I think that openness is required, and especially when you're trying to build something from scratch, and when you all are a smaller team, and even more so that time, you have to have people who are willing to be adaptable. You have to have people who are willing to wear like 5 different hats at the same time. So moving on from one small venture to the next, one a little more well-established one to the next, what is DiagnoEasy? And you said you came on as a co-founder on this. What does that mean exactly?
So I came as a co-founder investor, and we met in some networking event with the other two co-founders. So the other two co-founder, one is a doctor herself, and I like their vision because right from my childhood, I wanted to do something which can make difference in our society and which can give back to the society. You know, one was always educating to the people. The other one was, you know, giving back to the society by generating more employment. Third one was obviously saving some lives or changing someone's life. So I found it very interesting, and I said that, okay, boss, I want to join this company, and not just as an investor, but also as a co-founder and some sort of way where I can help these people, because these people have generally started and I had that experience already to grow, manage and operate an organization. So now I have kept my Sigilotech in an autopilot mode, and I'm working day in and day out for DiagnoEasy. So
what is the stage that DiagnoEasy is at, and what is this, when you say we're working day in and day out, what is the work that is going into it?
So when you create an organization, initially, you know, you don't have much people. So you need to be that sales guy. You need to be that tech guy. You need to become that, go-getter guy who will be able to do all sort of roles. So right now I'm doing what I used to do for Sigilotech 2 years back, you know, doing everything by myself. So it's the same way I'm doing over here. Obviously, now I have a lot of helping hands where I can delegate a lot of other tasks to people. But yeah, so DiagnoEasy right now is like, we are generating revenue and we are also profitable. We are trying to scale. We are trying to market a bit more. I want DiagnoEasy to make a word of mouth, especially initially in Calcutta, so that everybody should understand. Because see, I have seen people, you know, even though they have money, I've seen people dying in front of doctor. Health is something which, even if you have money, at certain point, in some circumstances, you will be not able to get that proper treatment at that particular time. You know, you consider so many people die of heart attack. So DiagnoEasy is where we are trying to provide emergency services, and our primary customers are the old people who are above 50, who cannot come to hospitals, who cannot come to other centers where they wanted that health stuff. So we are trying our level best to scale this and onboard more and more doctors. Right now we have got 50 doctors onboarded. And we are able to service whatever request is coming through our platform.
If I were to give you 15 crore rupees for DiagnoEasy today, or if I were to give you 15 CR for Sigilotech today, what would you do with the money? How would you scale? Where would you use it?
See, first of all, right now we are not accepting any funding for any of this organization, but yeah, I will take it the other way. Okay, if I get 50 CR for Sigilotech or DiagnoEasy, Sigilotech is not that where you will put money and it will scale. So, but for DiagnoEasy, yeah, we desperately need for marketing because we have a very robust team of very experienced doctors. And we already have a waiting list of few other doctors always. Like if 50, we have onboarded another 50 is on a waiting list. The only thing we need there is for marketing. So we will put almost 50 to 60% over a period of time, the current year. So we will make a proper plan that, okay, with this money, maybe down the line with 6 months, we will be spending this much in marketing, this much in operations, this much in tech part. And we will see, we will iterate, and in every month or every 3 months, we will see whether we are going with the right traction or not. So getting only money is not enough to scale a business. For me, it's if my money or some of the investor money, it's same for me. So I take care of each and every rupee, whether it is coming from some other pocket or mine pocket, that it has to be spent in a particular direction where we get the traction, and with keeping everything the same. So obviously I will be spending in all those verticals.
So Kadir, tell me more about Diagnoeasy. Do you guys have an app? What is it? How does it work? So you have an app, someone goes onto the app and requests whichever service that they need?
Yeah, we do have an app, but right now as our primary target is 50 plus customers, they find very difficult to operate that app. So it's all about customers and what they need. So right now we have a call center number where you can call, and whether it is old people or new people, everybody can call and book a doctor. We do have an app, but we are not that much marketing on that app, because again, later down the line, we have some other plans where we will be doing some, or we will be making a super app where you can do a lab test, where you book a doctor, you can track like a Zomato, like when you have booked a doctor. The problem is that people try to connect with doctor doesn't want to, you know, entertain such requests. So we will be, as I have a tech company, we will be scaling this app where you can book a doctor and your number will be, you'll get a virtual number, both the doctor and the customer, and you can basically track the doctor so that there is another issue, because all of these are an emergency services, right? So people, if they are not confident that someone is not coming within time, they will cancel. And so through app, it will be minimized. Because they will be able to track that, okay, doctor has started and he is in midway, and that in this much time he will appear and all. So we will be doing that part as well. But right now we are totally through call, through email, through our website contact forms where you fill up the form and we contact them back. So, coming back to the services, we want to make a super app for the entire, you know, home medical system. So if a doctor goes to your house, there are more chances that it will write blood tests. Generally, if something is not getting cured for 3 days, 4 days, generally doctors are writing blood tests. So doctors write a blood test, we provide again lab test at home, you know, a person will come and it will collect your blood and it will give you, within 24 hours, you'll get a report on your WhatsApp or on your email. So that is one thing. Apart from that, recently we have started non-invasive ICU setup at your home. So there are a few patients where, you know, in the hospital, they say that, okay, you know, you can take them back home. They have very less rate of survival. So whatever days they have, they can spend at their home. So generally we also prefer it during those days. So we are providing non-invasive ICU setup, which is where like channelization of the blood, channelization of food, and dressings and all, which we generally do with a very minimal charges per day basis. So you opt for our subscription plan, pay say number of days, and we will go at a particular time and we will do those changing, dressing, checking everything is there or not, putting that oxygen, checking the oxygen cylinder meters and everything. So these are a couple of things which you're doing here.
Kadir, that is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. Like all the love and support from our side, man. Like that's amazing. I think there cannot be enough of this in the world. And I feel like it's not just India that is in this kind of a state. It's the world, and COVID completely exposed how limited healthcare the world has available, how limited doctors the world has available. We need more doctors, we need more supplies, we need more system, we need more infrastructure worldwide, including in Canada. Because here, if you have something major, it can take 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 days, even for something as minor as a fracture. Even though everybody, the whole country has access to it, which is amazing. But it's just not enough. And you're doing this in India, providing India with such a beautiful services. It's mind-blowing. And I wish you all the luck in the world and really hope it picks up and really hope more people get to know about it.
Thank you. Even in COVID, right, it taught that, okay, home services or health services can be done at home. So there were a lot of hospitals which were providing home care services in COVID. So teleconsulting, video consulting. So it shows us that it is possible. And it also, that is where we saw that, okay, it's a big market to tap. And not only the old people, we are also targeting NRIs who stay outside of India and their parents or relatives are here. Sometimes, you know, they feel helpless. There are countless number of friends of mine during the COVID. They were not able to come to India when their mother or father or some other relative died. You know, that was the most painful part. And they were not able to do anything. So for them also, we are trying to solve their problem as a relationship manager, where you can hire our relationship manager and he will take care of everything, like you will come and take care. So that is also like another plan of us, where you can get a relationship manager, you pay for their services and they will do it for you.
That is really nice, man. I know. I remember during COVID, there was a lot of people who were, you know, facing this issue where, as you said, they are not in the city or in the vicinity of their loved near India ones. And their near India ones did not have the capabilities of, you know, looking for a hospital room or, you know, dealing with things that were coming to them. So this is really, really commendable. And I mean, big ups to you guys for doing this. Thank you so much from all of us. Thank you so much from the two of us, at least. And here's hoping it becomes something that is widely, widely successful and you can help and you can touch the lives of a lot of people.
What do you think we can change in the current societal setup for this to mean a lot lesser to us? Because it means so much to us right now, and my heart is going, you know, crazy hearing all of this, because I know this is a genuine problem. What structural change or what innate change needs to happen in the society so that these things become more a part of our lives rather than being like, damn, this is needed? You know, what could happen?
In terms of the society, yeah, in terms of the way we live our lives, in terms of the way our society is structured, in terms of the way help is available to people. Obviously, COVID was a circumstance which happens, I think, once in a century or a couple of centuries. But on a more general basis,
would there be a change that you would like that happens tomorrow so that all of this becomes more easy for you to do and it becomes less of a wow factor and more of a yes, this is the neighborhood?
So obviously, there has to be some government programs as well. You know, government also need to encourage this type of programs where, you know, everybody is coming and speaking about it. Nobody wants to wait outside of a hospital line or a doctor's line. So it's more like of education that, okay, there is something, this type of services. And I don't want that this should be we doing alone in the market. I'm quite okay that other players also come, because it is not about just making money. It's all about, you know, making someone's life more easy, you know, saving someone's life, saving someone's time. So I'm more than happy if people are getting more educated, it's becoming, and lot other service providers are coming, and it is becoming more and more affordable for everybody, right? And obviously, it will also ease the burden on lot of other hospitals, especially the government hospitals. Some of the private hospitals, where even sometimes what happens, people want to pay and still they don't get admitted. And so, obviously, those are the few factors which should come into place in order to reduce all those things.
So, Kadir, how are you going about getting doctors and people on board for this? Do you all have tie-ups with some existing hospitals and labs, or what's the thing?
So, basically, one of our co-founders, who is the CEO of this company, she herself is a doctor. So, when you know someone is a doctor, they have studied to a batch of, you know, 100 of doctors themselves, and they know 100 of doctors to other colleges. So it becomes very easy for them to convince other doctors to work for us. And that is where it has helped, because the main pain point or the main USP for us, you know, unique selling point for our services is the doctor. So we were able to convince the doctors, and they have got onboarded to us. And there are close to 20 to 22 doctors which are getting very good number of bookings every day. So even if they are doing a chamber and they're looking for, if they're looking for 20 to 25 people, they are earning more than that what we are providing to them. So it's a win-win situation for everybody. It's just the number of more requests will come, and the more number of doctors which will be associated with us, and we will be able to serve all the doctors in terms of finance as well. So right now, as I said, 20-22 doctors, they are getting very good booking, and they are also willing to go, say, X part of Calcutta to Y part of Calcutta. So it's not just us, and they are also driving our company from forefront. And yeah, we are doing good. Like our revenues are getting, say, increasing every month, and we are trying our level best so that we can serve more and more people.
So these doctors sign up with you full time, or is it like I have my own chambers from X hour to Y hour, and then in the interim, I am choosing my times of availability? How does it work?
So right now, we see one in business world, right? It works very well if you don't hire anybody, but rather rent someone. It's the wrong comparison to do, but in case of doctors also, right? If you have freelancer doctors, your job becomes very easy. You know, especially when you don't have that much of funding to pay a full-time doctor, the same number of amount which you will be paying to five doctors, you can have, you know, 15 freelancers. So, and the overhead is also reduced. So that is where we are keeping, obviously we can keep full-time doctors, but right now we are in a phase where we are having freelancers. And obviously they have some sort of time constraint as well.
And would you be looking to tie up with hospitals in the future and make it like a hybrid thing?
Yeah, we are already doing. So we are doing lot of stuff. Like every day I sit with other co-founders and we are trying to figure it out. Every 2 weeks we are doing something new. We are doing corporate partnership. We are trying to tie up with medicine shops so that we can also provide medicines. We are trying to go to hospitals to have an hybrid, like the people who are getting discharged, somehow if we can give some services. We are trying in all possible way where we can pitch in our medical services to different verticals.
I love it, man. This is really awesome. I think, yeah, the world is definitely going to be a better place after you all leave it.
Yeah.
The world will look so much better if the way I get my taxi, I can also get my doctor. Where I can go on an app and know that this doctor is free and I can have that doctor delivered to my place, or I can be delivered to their place and their place is like right next doors in the neighborhood. That world would look amazing, and I hope you guys enable that world sooner rather than later. And I hope we can help you do that as well. Hopefully the way we are trying to connect founders to each other, maybe you can find some value within our founder network too.
I also think that this part that Kadir is talking about, you know, getting people who have been discharged from hospital, because that's the time where they are technically the most vulnerable. And a lot of people don't have the facilities to have someone to take care of that particular person who has just been discharged and has had a, you know, surgery or a treatment or a prolonged illness. And that person's obviously not at 100% energy or health or whatever. So, you know, you need to be even more careful in that scenario. So having someone providing even those services, I think, is just...
Yeah, in these days, getting IAs also in that circumstances become very difficult.
Yeah, I think with IAs or with this, there's a training aspect, right? There the training aspect comes in. Here you're providing personnel who are going to be very well trained and are, you know, educated for this particular purpose. Whereas hiring a domestic help or a maid or someone like that, they are not necessarily going to be educated in this medical front.
Exactly. And it's also the number of employment you can generate when you have covering so many verticals. In each verticals, you might generate n number of employment, and who doesn't want a service, especially health services at home. So that is the other part which we are trying to do, that you know, generate more and more employment in different verticals.
Kadir, it was absolutely wonderful having you on the podcast. This was an eye-opener, and I absolutely love the social aspects of humanity, and this is what makes us better. I absolutely love when people open businesses, they want to do something for the bigger picture once they have taken care of themselves, because after a certain point, money just becomes a number and your consumption is already capped, so might as well do something for the rest of the world. We have a tradition on our podcast. It's a closing tradition. And the last founder has left you a question, and we would ask you to leave the next founder a question as well. So the question we have for you is, how important a role did your college community play in you building your business?
Or businesses, shall we say?
It's a lot, actually. So it actually gives you a platform. So more than a community, it's giving you a platform where you exchange of ideas, you know, you exchange of guts, you exchange of opportunity, you exchange of challenges, because that community is more or less having the same mindset. And you know, it's very difficult to get so many people with same mindset or particular, you know, certain point of time in your life. So it plays a very important role, especially when you are coming up from a very good college. I was not from a very well-reputed college, but I know the importance of a community when you come from a very good college, because they already have that thing set up. You know, you ask for anything, okay, I need a website, I need a funding, I need this, that, and the entire community is there to help. So it's really important in life when you have that in place. Even if it is not there, you can build by yourself, but whatever it's required.
Can we have your question?
Yes. So I would like to ask